He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
Well, good morning again. It's wonderful to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me. It's always a nice little visit. It brings me back to one of my first little churches. It was just like this, so it has great memories. So thank you again for letting me be here. Well, when I was growing up, there were six kids, all of us were baptized. You know, there were certain things, certain expectations in my home that had to do with religion. And one of those were we were all baptized at birth. And then, you know, for Christmas and Easter, most of the times we went to church because that was what you were supposed to do. You went to church at least a couple times a year. Now, we went to confession if we were doing our first communion or our confirmation, but other than that, not so much. But we learned the right words. We had the right positions for sacraments. We knew the three prayers by memory. It was rote. It just came out. Didn't even have to think about it. It was just there. And we didn't eat meat on Fridays. And we always needed to be dressed appropriately for each event, though. It was a way my mom and dad thought we would see Jesus. It was a way that they thought that if they just dabbled us, kind of, in the Lord, maybe we would understand who he was. I don't think very much of those times. I did not encounter the Lord at all. But I knew that my mom had thought that this was the best for us. Well, I was raising my children now. And I figured I wanted a little more righteousness. So I was going to move it up a notch. So instead of just Christmas and Easter, the kids and I went to church every Sunday. You know, Wednesday for suppers. Made sure we went for Wednesday for suppers. And I had my children dedicated. I did what I was supposed to do, had them dedicated. And really, at that time, I wanted to be baptized so I didn't burn in hell. My children participated in VBS and other kids' programs. Teenagers went to youth group, and we didn't smoke or swear. And we gave money to the church a little bit, and we always put a little bit in the Salvation Army kettle just to make sure. You know, we wanted to make sure that we could at least get to heaven. So we did these things knowing that if we worked hard enough, if we were righteous enough, we could have eternity. Well, Paul is talking in Romans here about his heart for his people, his heart for his friends and family and countrymen that he actually grew up with, that he actually knew about, that he understood that these people were zealous for God, that they were thinking that they were doing all the things they were supposed to do in order to find the Lord. And so Paul writes in Romans on chapter 9, 10, and 11, he's very burdened. He's burdened that how can he convince his people, in a sense, who Jesus really is. And, you know, they receive the law from the Lord. They receive the Ten Commandments. But just like me, they wanted to have a little more righteousness, so they added a few more rules. They put a few negative ones, a few positive ones. By the time they finished, they had 613 laws that if they did, they were going to be good. They were good to go. You know, the big ones were the Ten Commandments, of course. You should not kill. But there were many others of things not to do on the Sabbath, such as you could help someone when they're sick, but you can't help them get better. And you can't carry anything on the Sabbath heavier than 2 figs. They had rules and regulations that if they followed specifically and with a great heart, that this is the way that they were going to bless God and glorify God. And like I said, the Israelites were zealous for God. They tried to please him by good works, by good deeds, and by credit. And it was funny, while I was looking up this, referencing this scripture, it brought me into Fourth Maccabees, a story about how zealous they were. And many of us know that there was an issue with eating pork. And so I'm going to just read you a little story out of here. And the point is, to what extent would they follow the Lord to find God? And so here it is. And I always have to think of the guy's name because I never pronounce it right. So the fourth book of Maccabees, there's an amazing incident. Eleazar, the priest, who brought before Antiochus Epiphanes, whose aim was to stamp out Jewish religion. Antiochus ordered him to eat pork. The old man refused. "No, not if you pluck out my eyes and consume bowels in the fire. We, O Antiochus," he said, "who live under a divine law, consider no compulsion to be so forcibly as obedience to our law. If he had died, his fathers would receive him holy and pure." See, he would be holy because he followed this rule. "He was ordered to be beaten. His flesh was torn off by the whips, and he streamed down with blood, and his flanks were laid open by wounds. He fell, and a soldier kicked him. In the end, the soldiers so pitied him that they brought him dressed meat, which was not pork, and told him to eat it and say that he had eaten pork. He refused. He was, in the end, killed. 'I am dying by the fiery torments of thy law's sake,' he prayed to God. 'He insisted,' says the writer, 'even to the agonies of death for the law's sake.'" And what was all this about? It was about eating pork. It seemed incredible that a man should die like that for the law, for a law like that. But the Jews did so die. Truly, they had zeal for the law. No man can say that they were not desperate and earnest about their service to God. The whole Jewish approach was that by this kind of obedience to the law of man, they earn credit with God. I mean, wasn't that what my mother and I were trying to do? We were trying to earn credit with God. We just did it in a different way. And so Paul says that their zeal, though, is not based on knowledge. And they, what has happened now is they had sought to establish their own status, that as they made it more and more difficult to follow the rules and follow the laws, that they put God more and more out of reach for them. And we know that man can only achieve status of righteousness by God's gift of Christ. Amen. And we must submit ourselves to God to be righteous in his sight. Paul also was trying to tell them not only that the law does not give the answer, but also that Jesus is the end of the law, that Jesus fulfilled all the purposes and goals of the law. The purpose of the law that Jesus fulfills is to bring all people back in right relationship to God and to show that the law is powerless to save, because it can't be perfectly kept. There's no one that can keep all those laws, and so therefore they can't be righteous. Jesus is the righteousness of God for all people, Jews and Gentiles. See, by Jesus being the end of the law, now all of us are able to call on Christ to save us. And there's no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. Paul tries everything to try to bring his countrymen to know that this is the truth. And he shows us some different scripture. He talks about Deuteronomy 30:14. But what I say, the word is near you. It is in your heart and in your mouth. It is not in the law. It is already within you when you pray, when you give your heart to Christ, when you profess it. In Joel, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. These are Old Testament prophets that are saying, making statements that God is now referring to in the New Testament. In Isaiah 28:16, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You know, I want to know, when was the first time in the Bible that we could find that people began to call on the name of the Lord? So I looked through, and it's not very far. You go to Genesis 4. In Genesis 4, the third generation after Adam, son Seth, has just had a son, and they make the statement, at that time, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. There was no law. They just knew that and believed that God was God. And they believed that if they bowed before him and put themselves before him, that they would be able to call on his name and he would supply their needs. He would show them the way, that he'd be present in that relationship. And so he believed that there is a God and that he heard them. They proclaimed their love for God and followed him. You know, whether we're legalistic or self-righteous, Paul explains the way to salvation for all people in this way. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. See, it is a heart desire to love and serve Jesus and trust he is God. It's not the law. It's not legalism. It's not works. It's not salvation for some, but for all. And it's the righteousness through Christ to all who believe. It's really a heart condition that results in a confession of truth. Jesus is Lord. I want to tell you a story about a woman called Anna, and she comes to a Bible study, and I went to her home. She had been sick. She had been coming just a few times, and she had left one class feeling ill. And so I thought I'd just stop by and check on her and see if she was okay. And so when I got there, she says, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And I says, oh, glad. I'm glad you're feeling a little bit better. You're feeling better. She says, yeah, but can you come in? And I said, sure, I can come in. And so I came in, and she starts and tells me that she has been listening at the Bible studies and that she believes in Jesus and that she wants to make a profession of faith and wanted to know if I would sit and pray with her and ask Jesus to come into her life. Well, I said, sure. That wasn't hard at all. I felt really blessed that I had the opportunity to do that. But even more than that, the next step was 2 days later, we were in the community room, and some people were there, and Anna comes in, and she stands up, and she proclaims to everybody there, I have given my life to Jesus. He is my Lord. She didn't worry who was there, what they would say. There was nothing holding her back, that she knew that she had been changed by the grace of God and that she wanted the world to know it. She came in with this big smile on her face and she just smiled from ear to ear and she was just so fearless. Funny thing is, at that time, we had both Jews and Gentiles in the community room. So how fitting this verse that we take apart and that hasn't happened in a long time. You know, when we look at the word confess in this scripture, confess actually in Hebrew means proclaim. So sometimes we think confess means in private, let's confess Jesus, and then we move on. But it isn't. It's about let's proclaim Jesus as Lord. Let's make sure people know his name and that it's not done in that one moment. It is done forever in our life. That is what she did proclaim, that Jesus is Lord. And I wanted everybody to take a minute now and just think about the last time you proclaimed Jesus. You know, when was it? Where was it? And who are you with? You know, sometimes I have to think, I thought these questions myself. I wonder how can people believe without hearing? When it seems like many times we're talking about other things, even at church. We're talking about our children, or even at gatherings, conversation is less and less about Christ. And, you know, I'm evaluating myself right now. I am guilty of that myself, when that would be the time to make sure that people heard about my Lord and Savior, that if you call upon his name, you will be saved. You know, I pray that Anna never stops proclaiming. You know, if she could just bebop around that whole community and make a witness and have it so people say, well, what are you talking about? And she has a moment to explain salvation to someone. And how many people would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? But I'm fearful that we may have lost our zeal. Even though the Jewish community was zealous, and for the wrong reason, without the right knowledge, have we lost our zeal? Have we lost the excitement of knowing that we have eternity with a loving God forever? And we have not wanted to pass it on. I don't think it's that we don't want to pass it on. I think it's that we don't think about it sometimes. I think it's just not, I think we need to be reminded of it, that we need to make sure that that people know that Jesus saves, and it, nothing else saves us. No legalism, no law, no rules, nothing we can do can bring us to the throne of grace except our Lord Jesus Christ. And so my heart hurts that there are so many people that have not heard about Christ. Just as Paul. Paul was worried about his countrymen. He was worried. He's doing a lot of talking. He knows what they have gone through, but they have not had their encounter with God yet. They have not encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus like he did. And he knows the truth, and he knows that there's so many stumbling blocks for his countrymen to come to Christ. And I think we have the same situation, the Gentiles. We have so many things in this world that gets in the way, that gives stumbling blocks to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I think sometimes we want to invite people to church instead of proclaim them. I think we need to do both. I think we need to just add to it and say, come to church, I want you to hear about Jesus. Come to church because Jesus is my Savior. Jesus has changed my life. I want you to understand that. The passion that people see in you is going to drive them to find out what this true love affair is. We got to be careful not to have a lifestyle evangelism. We need to have our lifestyle right, but we also need to let people know why our life is this way. Who makes us this way? It's not because we're good enough. It's because Christ is living through us, and we are able to do things we could never dream about because he is in us, and he moves us to do the things that we do that is so other than this world. He loves us so much. I wish we could understand the depth of his love. I wish we could understand how he wants to have a relationship, a deep, deep relationship. And there's no one that has a relationship here that he doesn't want to go deeper, that he doesn't want to be with you more, that he doesn't desire to change you inside and out and to give you a peace and a blessing to know that God is with you. You know, I never made a true profession of faith until I was 43. I went through all the different, several different denominations, several different services, and I never found Christ. Well, praise God, I did find him. Praise God, he is my Lord and Savior, and I proclaim it from right here that I will serve him the rest of my life. And I want people to experience that. I feel I wasted 43 years. I feel like, oh my goodness, how did I miss this? And how can I love you more each day? Please help me, because in my skin I can't. It is only by you that I may. The gospel must be proclaimed by all believers, whether it's a baby Christian just the day before, had a said a prayer, to someone that's been living as a Christian, as a mature adult, or even as preachers can get lazy at times too. They need to make sure that they're proclaiming Christ and how we can have salvation through him. We need to tell the world that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that there's no other way to the God except through him. So teach them how to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Isaiah 52, the last statement there, it says, the whole scripture is how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Continue to proclaim that Jesus is Lord to all the people around, and watch the glory you bring him. It will amaze you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.